Podcast for Changemakers, the podcast where we talk to the people shaping the digital energy future. Every now and then, we also like to turn the spotlight to the initiators of this very podcast. And that's why I'm very happy to welcome to this special episode, instead of external guests, our founders of S4IN, Christian and Christoph. Very welcome that you join our podcast.
Well, thank you. Happy to be here.
Pleasure to be back. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
So let's unpack together the power market today, flexibility, as it's called, or as we like to call it, the gold of the energy transition. And of course, I would like to have a glimpse on the journey of S4IN. So what happened so far? And let's start. What originally motivated you to start S4IN? What's it all about?
Well, originally, there was the market opportunity. We already saw 2014, 2015, and where we saw that was a change, a paradigm change from a steerable supply, fossil supply and so on, to decentralized renewables with forecast errors that flexibility is needed drastically in the future, increasingly. Then there was a chance for entrepreneurship. We founded, Christoph and myself, the company together. So after long-term experience in big groups and companies, and certainly there was a change, the chance to act as a fast mover and really to bring the change process forward within the transition, within the energy transition. These were, I think, this was my motivation, Christoph. Maybe other factors?
Yeah, I think the market side is, you've already covered the market side. I think we've seen back in the days an inefficiency in the system. We've seen that there is an opportunity arising for flexibility. And as we've worked together previously, I think we already saw and felt that there is a niche, and that niche might be significantly growing in the near future. And I mean, looking back 12 years now, that is exactly what happened. I mean, maybe as a side story, when Christian and I met, we were initially competitors. We bumped into each other, or walked past each other, actually, in a final negotiation round of an industrial customer. I met at the front door or the car park. One came out of the negotiation and the other one went in. That happened two or three times in a very short period. And then you start observing the other. Huh? And then we decided, hey, we need to talk and find out who the other one is and why we always bump into each other. And long story short, we've been discussing, I think, roughly about a year's time on how we see the world and what the vision is that the two of us share for the market. And we teamed up. I joined Christian's team in our previous company a year after we initially met. And we've been working together there for about roughly 2 years, maybe. And then Christian took the initiative and decided not to extend his work contract and had that crazy idea of founding his own company. And I got convinced and joined in. That's how it all started, basically.
Love the motivation, entrepreneurship, and the how the markets were behaving, and that you wanted to find a solution for that. So let's dive into that topic, markets. I think that might be super interesting, because that's one of the reasons I actually wanted to invite you to that podcast, is that change-making things are happening right now in the market, especially in Germany. Would you take us a little bit with you? What are at the moment the most impactful changes, first of all, in the markets in Germany, and why do they matter at the moment or right now?
Well, first of all, besides Germany, I think for the world, but also for Europe, I think there is the change to more renewables, away from fossils, and that's unstoppable. That's politically wanted also, And that's necessary, absolutely. I mean, we see it now day by day because of the climate and also because of politics. We see right now the conflict in Middle East. And it's more and more, especially we are an industrial country, for our business, for our economy, dangerous to rely totally on fossil energy. So therefore, I think for Europe, but also for Germany, even more, the change to renewable energy is absolutely wanted and politically also decided. In the German market, I mean, we have some regulatory changes a lot during the last years because we changed from a centralized energy world to a decentralized world. And I mean, there is a huge change already much faster in the power sector, the supply sector of power to renewables. And now there is a huge necessity also to adapt the grid. So it's a huge expansion needed in terms of capital, hundreds of billions of euros. You can reduce it if you have more flexibility, that's for sure. And there's also a lot necessary in terms of regulation. So, for example, AGNES is there, where we change from even in terms of grid fees, from a more continuous supply situation with nuclear energy and so on to renewables, which is difficult to predict. And which also demands, for example, the German industry to change more to flexible production. So this will be in AGNES also in the future, the grid fee changes. And also in terms of the renewable industry, EEG, there will be a new law. So a lot will change.
Yeah, I think the market has left the experimental phase, actually, and we are seeing cost-wise the economies of scale really kicking in. Basically, installing PV has become, I would say, more or less dirt cheap, and especially batteries have decreased in their cost base significantly as well, and that is the reason why those two asset classes really boom currently. Christian mentioned already the regulatory impact. I mean, that's always, I think, a bit of a normal cycle. The market is rushing ahead and cost-wise economies of scale kick in, which even increases the rushing ahead. And then regulatory changes need to catch up. That is exactly what happens at the moment. I think we have two major regulatory impacts around the AGNES process, which is basically a dynamic grid fee or a renewal of the grid fee scheme in Germany. One is for batteries. There's been a lot of uncertainty around grid fee exemptions for batteries, and the AGNES process is now, and the German regulator has now clarified that, which from our perspective leads to from a freeze period in battery developments really leads now to a rush into project developments again, because to make use of those grid fee exemptions, you need to take a final investment decision before the AGNES directive actually gets into force. And to be on the safe side, you need to do that before Christmas 26. And Christmas 26 from an asset development point of view is basically tomorrow. And the second AGNES impact is on especially on industrial customers. I would say that the current AGNES discussion can be summarized with flexibility is not optional any longer. You need to behave flexible and you need to behave alongside the grid in order to get grid fee discounts in the future. And that reasoning is settling in with any asset owner in the industrial landscape.
So lots going on, lots of changes. It's a very complex system changing from a demand supply to a supply side energy system. It's super difficult to predict renewables. You mentioned the buzzwords ARCNES, the regulatory framework. So we dove already super deep into the change-making factors in the markets right now. But let's step back. I think otherwise we lose our non-energy experts in the podcast. Why do you see anything that makes today's power markets, or why are they so complex and at the same time so full of opportunity? Shall we start, for example, to explain what can participants benefit from the energy system right now in the energy markets?
First of all, some reasons or some aspects why it is so complex. As said, I mean, we are moving, it's a total change process in the energy world. We are moving from a centralized to a decentralized world, first of all. Second, I mean, with more and more renewables, difficult to predict, the importance of short-term markets and short-term optimization is heavily increasing. Even in short-term markets, you have more and more volatility with renewables. And so therefore, there is more and more the need for flexibility also to react on volatility and on price developments in short term. I mean, this all finally requires changes in regulation, the framework for the change process. As said, I mean, this is an ongoing process for years and also in the past and also for the future. And above all, I think to manage this decentralized worlds, we have to digitalize and automate heavily the energy systems, because it's short-term optimization. You can't do it anymore manually, starting from trading, but also from managing assets, if it is a power plant, if it is demand response, an industrial process, and so on. So even digitalization is heavily needed.
With more and more renewables in the system, we are moving to real time. And real time meets exactly what Christian just said. We need the assets to know what's happening in real time then as well, which basically translates to automation and digitalization. And at the same time, the amount of decisions that every market participant has to take or has to make is increasing. The market, the day ahead market, has switched to 15-minute bidding periods in October last year. So suddenly it's not 24 hours and 24 decisions, but it's 96. And the auxiliary services will switch to 15 minutes as well this October. So suddenly, coming from 6 4-hour blocks in the auxiliary services, you're going to 96 decisions as well. And that is simply increasing the complexity exponentially. And at the same time, yeah, every decision that you need to take means an arbitrage potential and means an option for flexibility to earn money, or actually to take a wrong decision and not be in the best market. So it's all about forecasting. It's all about option theory. It's all about recognizing patterns and expected behavior. And I think we can sum it up that whatever was more or less a given fact 5 years ago in the market is clearly no longer true today. So, the market is changing and evolving in a speed that we haven't seen before.
So when Christoph and myself, we started in the energy business in terms of supply, forward products and long-term purchasing was the most important topic, portfolio management and so on. And now it's really more and more additionally the short-term optimization. And so just take our company, even together with our clients, we optimize, we digitalize as much as possible. So usually our business is fully digitalized and running automatically.
Talking about short-term markets, for anyone who is not so such an expert in the energy markets, would see these volatile prices, very extreme prices or high prices, up to zero or negative prices, perhaps as a problem. It's a sign that there's not enough supply or not enough demand or vice versa, that we kind of have to intervene to that, that there are seasonal price changes as well. In the summer, negative, and in the winter, very high prices. So we have to build lots of renewables and so on. Thus, and the summer already arrived in May in the short-term markets when you observed those crazy negative prices. Thus, my question to you, perhaps, Christoph, is what do these negative prices show? Can I only react in the summer to them and only to extreme prices in the winter? Is it a problem we are just reacting to, or is it something we should work with?
The answer really depends on where you are, on which side you are in the market. I think in general, it's a bit like what I said earlier. The market reacts quicker than the regulatory framework. And we've seen an incredible build out and ramp up of especially solar generation capacity connected to the German system. But the regulatory framework and the demand side has not coped with that speed yet. So basically, we've increased significantly the generation, but we are not as flexible as we would need to be on the demand side currently. And that simply leads to more or less an oversupply in periods when the sun really, really is out. And that's why the market prices go very, very low. But is that a risk or a chance? That really depends on where you are, on which side of the market you are. If you are simply exposed to those prices and can't react to it, well, it can be a risk, obviously, especially for the generators. But if you can take an active position in that market and move your assets, either the generation or the demand side, well, then those prices can be a chance. I think it's all about moving yourself from I'm exposed to the market and I'm passive to an active, being an active participant and a playmaker basically of that market. There was one comment when we reached those massively negative prices in early May from our minister, basically saying that those negative prices have cost the German society tens of millions of euros that single day. Again, I think that really depends on which side you are on. I mean, obviously, from a GDP perspective, yes, we've agreed to subsidize PV panels, especially residential PV, with a feed-in tariff. And obviously, if market prices go as negative as they've never been before, the cost for that feed-in tariff rises and increases. And yes, it is a significant cost. But at the same time, those negative prices lower the average price in the year and actually make our industry more competitive. And especially the innovative part of the industry, the ones that have invested into flexible assets and that can react. So I'm very hesitant to really follow that line of argumentation of our minister and saying this is a problem. I actually see this as a market chance because the market has been quicker in building up renewable capacity than the demand side has been on reacting to that. But there is an investment opportunity to build flexible assets around soaking up those negative prices. I see that personally as a chance, to be honest.
I can only fully underline that because, I mean, I've also heard that some people said, well, we have to make regulatory changes. We have to forbid negative prices. For me, it's a sign there is not enough flexibility in the market. And we have to create the conditions from regulatory side to create more flexible assets and to use those. Because if you have flexibility in the market, extreme prices or negative prices will be much faster avoided. So there's a need for flexibility, and that's it. And it's, I mean, this is really the market, a pure market.
Thus, talking about prices as a risk or a chance, flexibility is one of the solutions to turn prices into a chance for companies. And as we like to say at S4IN, flexibility is the gold of the energy transition. Let's discuss how does our company come into play in these market dynamics. Could you guys please explain, with an example would be awesome, what we do? So without mentioning perhaps the technical terms like Agnes or whatever, just like, how would you explain it to your mother at Christmas?
Oh, I've tried that a few times to explain that to my parents at Christmas. I think the easiest way of explaining it is that we connect our customers' assets to the market, and that we make those assets follow market prices, both on the demand and on the supply side. So basically, if prices are very low, there is no point in burning gas and creating gas-fired generation capacity. And at the same time, if prices are very high, let's reduce demand and generate and ramp up generation wherever possible. And that is exactly what we do. In detail, it is very, very complex, yes, but we code asset individual algorithms to make sure that the physical asset is capable of delivering whatever we have traded. So we need to make sure that we trade within the restrictions, within the boundaries of the asset and the process that the asset is actually embedded in. And then we basically go to the market and hunt for interesting prices per asset. That's what we do.
Well, basically, we bring the flexibility of our customers to the market. And this was a lot of assets. We started with demand response. So we adapted industrial processes to the situation. Not enough renewables there. Prices are high. Then we reduce industrial processes, or we increase supply power production. And for all kinds of assets, for batteries also, we load or deload and so on. So we bring and monetize the flexibility of our clients to the market.
Let's dive one layer deeper into the company. So Christoph, you explained, and Christian, what flexibility is and what we sort of do with it. But what else can S4IN offer for our customers? And that is a wide range, as you already mentioned.
Yeah, I think, again, looking back at the 12 years, that there has been an evolution. When we started with the first customers, basically, we had to explain that there is a continuous intraday market and that it is crazily volatile, that there is an opportunity to be catched. We've developed the company and our capabilities not only alongside various asset classes. So we've started, the very first customer was an industrial demand response process, but we've moved to industrial cogeneration, to standalone power plants that are purely exposed to the electricity markets, to renewable assets that you can control and steer, biogas, biomass, to flexible renewables like wind and solar, and obviously to batteries. We've started to do residential batteries. We're now doing front of the meter batteries, co-locations, green and gray, basically everything that can provide flexibility to the system. We're trading electrolyzers, we're doing hydro power plant optimization. We even have a vehicle to grid proof of concept use case. So basically, we can work with any flexibility. But besides moving across various asset classes, we've obviously developed into various flexibility markets as well. It's not the case that only the continuous intraday offers added value. The day ahead does as well, and the auxiliary service markets on top of that do so as well. We've said before, there are plenty of decisions to be made, and every decision has an opportunity value and an arbitrage potential. And that's exactly what we what we've developed. We've called it internally a one-stop shop solution. Basically, we are not only talking about in which market do we place the flexibility? Do we go into FCR, into AFRR? Do we do day ahead or continuous intraday? But we've embedded that flexibility one-stop shop into a supply concept as well. So we are not only a normal flexibility player, we are also a supplier to many of our customers. And we've embedded our flexibility solution into a supply contract and supply solution. And actually, just to mention it, not only on the electricity side, but also cross commodity on the gas side as well. Because if you start optimizing a gas-fired power plant, suddenly, if you do something on the electricity side, you end up with the need of trading gas as well and optimizing that feedstock as well. And that's what we call really a one-stop shop. So not only cross-market, but also cross-commodity and embedded into a supply concept.
Christian, what would you say in regards to that matter, were the biggest or are the biggest challenges in scaling SFOIN, and perhaps what are the key success factors to really build such a company that can offer such a wide range of services to such a wide range of assets?
Well, there's definitely a lot to mention. I mean, first of all, I think at the beginning and always within the startup and scaling up process, it is very important to see the main trends in the market, to even set trends maybe with flexibility. We were the pioneers, and to innovate. That's quite very important. And at the same time, understand also the customers' needs. So within this whole energy transition, what do they need to solve and to be in a good energy supply and optimization situation? Then definitely a challenge and a key factor is to build up the right organization. I mean, to have people really also in their mindset to innovate, to understand customers, to move fast and adapt processes to solutions for customers, which they need. Well, then it's, I think, very important where we as founders had an eye on to always have absolutely financial health. Because when you start, I mean, a lot of startup entrepreneurs forget that liquidity at the beginning is the most important factor to develop a company and to scale up a company. So that's even for our customers in industry very important to have a good financial performance. So, but basically, it all starts with the customer needs, the customer approach, and to centralize the organization really on the market trends and innovations and customers.
And maybe to take away the complexity from the customer and offer a solution. But that means that you need to have the team as well to develop that solution and take care about the nitty-gritty details and the complexity, but don't offload that to the customers.
We tapped on lots of things that S1 is doing, from a wide range of customers, that we have a one-stop shop approach. But if you have to tackle, I don't know, a few things or one thing, what makes S4IN, in your opinion, truly unique compared to other offers in the market?
I mean, to focus it, I would say that we have basically all channels to market flexibility of our customers in-house, in in-house processes. So to market its flexibility across markets into intraday and wholesale markets, but also into ancillary markets, to market cross commodity also, for example, for industry, to optimize even the gas positions In relation to flexibility needed for power, so cross-commodity optimization. Then in terms of flexibility, our multi-asset approach. There's no one in Europe who has the experience from to market industrial processes, demand response to supply response, all kinds of power generation, renewables, and so on, even then batteries and electrolyzers. So we market over 20 assets. With their flexibility, we bring them and monetize the flexibility in the markets. I mean, we have a broad client base that's also very important from industry, where we started as a pioneer for flexibility, to utilities, to IPPs, power producers, renewables, investors for batteries, and so on. And this, I mean, maybe the last factor is the experience of the team, because you have to handle those variety of assets, those variety of market channels to market flexibility, this variety of clients from industry to utilities to investors. So I think the experience of the team is the most important factor.
Maybe to follow up on that experience, just to phrase that maybe slightly different, but we've been trading in the market for the last 12 years with flexibility that covered crazy market periods, if you remember, as the COVID pandemic. It covered the price peaks around the Russian-Ukrainian war. We've been always trading in those markets and always monetizing the flexibility of our customers. So I think it's not only about the experienced team, but also our strategies and our trading approach has really proven to be reliable in the most diverse market conditions that you can actually think of.
What would you then, when a potential customer approaches you, what would you advise the company with a flexible asset but hasn't yet tapped into that opportunity? What would you tell them in one sentence what they should do with their flexible asset?
I mean, well, we have explained the change to renewable markets, so there is a need for flexibility. So I would say start as early as possible. Don't wait. Complexity also shouldn't be a blocker. Innovate. And maybe for that kind of process, have a look for a partner also. I mean, we started with flexibility in the market, but there are also other partners. So start maybe also with a partner into the market who has the experience how to improve your flexibility, how to market assets which are already today flexible, and how to increase flexibility in the future.
Maybe going back to the very early minutes of the podcast, become active, see flexibility as a chance rather than a risk. And summing it up in one sentence, I think flexibility is not optional anymore. You have to do something on the flexibility side if you want to be long-term in this market.
And maybe don't forget, flexibility can be a revenue stream. Monetize your flexibility to reduce further your energy costs.
And of course, save CO2 through monetizing your flexibility.
That's with the whole process of renewables. Less or no CO2 anymore because of the climate, finally.
In regards to the time, I let you speak a little longer than usual because you are two, and so I think that's just fair. But let's still have a little glimpse into the future. And then, of course, we have our last question I ask all of our guests. How do you see the flexibility markets, and perhaps also as for in evolving over the next 5 years, in one sentence?
Well, in one sentence, more and more renewables need more and more flexibility. with all kinds of assets, even large batteries increasing a lot during the last time. So flexibility is needed, the gold of the energy market.
I think that's summing it up very well. There will always be volatility and there will always be a chance for flexible assets. So as I said before, take it as a chance and prepare yourself to be an active participant in whatever is to come. I'm fairly sure we'll see a lot more small scale and decentralized assets being a participant in this market in 5 years. So just to mention electric vehicles, to mention residential flexibility, maybe even hydrogen, large scale, I don't know. But whatever asset you have, be an active part in this.
And the last question, besides SRIN, of course, who's your change maker at the moment?
I mean, they are certainly the utility industry is in a full change process. There are a lot of change makers already in the energy world. But if you ask me, I would say for me, the most impressive change maker, in my view, was Steve Jobs. I mean, he saw, first of all, trends. He was even a trendsetter before anyone else saw it. I mean, he was, secondly, he was perfect in designing a product to lead the team, to create a good team and to lead the design, which was unique, suddenly was integrated in all kinds of internet sources and apps and so on. And last but not least, I mean, he was perfect in transformation and bringing performance into the process, which is quite seldom to have creative people on the one side, but also to have tough performers and who transform an industry.
Christoph?
Yeah, I'll focus a bit on the besides Esperin part. And well, currently there's the World Cup and Germany hasn't performed at least as I expected it. So I'm betting on the change maker, Jürgen Klopp, hoping for him to make the German national team a serious title candidate again.
Perfect. I love your serious and, of course, even more serious answer, Christoph, to that last question. Thank you guys for the insights about the markets, especially in the beginning. Then we dove into S4IN and, of course, flexibility as the change maker of the energy transition and energy future. Yeah, thank you. And to our listeners, I hope you enjoyed this a little slightly longer episode than usual. And stay tuned for more conversations with very interesting people to come in the next episodes, shaping the energy future.
Thanks a lot for having us.
Thank you very much, dear Thea.